text this morning comes from Luke chapter 3, verse 1 through 18. Begins with a little history. Remember, I told you in the introduction that Luke is a historian, and so he firmly places the events here in real time. This is not a myth, it's reality. So he begins in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the legion of Bithynia and Iconius and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, having the high priest of Annas and Sapphira, and the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the words of Isaiah the prophet. And this is chapter 40 of Isaiah, by the way. And the passage right before, the words right before that is that famous one, "Comfort, comfort my people." And then it says, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh will see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came to him to be baptized, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clean his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. The chaff he will burn unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he preached the good news to the people. God bless now this reading of his holy and infallible word. You know, the tone in which you say something makes all the difference. Did you notice how I read that passage? You brood of vipers. Who warned you of the wrath to come? I think we imagine John with his voice raised on this occasion, yelling out the angry, fire and brimstone voice, "You brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come?" And you know, I just spoke the same very words. The tone makes all the difference. Now, of course, I can't go back in time, and neither can you. We really can't hear how John said this. You know, that phrase, "that tone, the brood of vipers," actually Jesus uses that on several occasions. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the context there, I think, makes it very clear that he said it with probably an angry voice, because the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were coming to him were hypocrites. But this context tells us in verse 18 that John was preaching the good news. The good news. You know, we hear the tone of his voice in three ways in our passage. We hear it in his message. We hear it when he speaks of the grace of God. And we hear it when he's talking to people as to their response. Your response. So let's begin with his message. What indeed was John preaching? Well, verse 3 tells us he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as I mentioned, this is a message of good news. This may come as a surprise to you, because I think many people don't think what John is saying here really sounds like good news. I mean, to call people a brood of vipers, you know, it's not exactly, as we would say today, seeker friendly. It seems like a message more to drive people away than to draw them into God. However, what a challenge today to reflect more thoughtfully and carefully upon this passage, especially that phrase, good news. You see, those who realize that they are indeed vipers, it's such people who find a message of baptism, of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, good news. Very, very good news. You see, we need to understand what John meant by viper, what he means by repentance, and what he means by baptism. As I mentioned before, that metaphor of viper was quite common back then. What it was referring to, actually, is going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent, the viper, came and tempted Eve and Adam in the garden. If you continue in chapter 3 of Genesis, what we find is God curses the serpent, the viper. And he says that he is going to have seed, and the woman is going to have a seed who is going to crush the viper's head, even though the viper is able to bruise his heel. Jesus makes it clear that this distinction between the seed of Satan, the viper, and the seed of the woman, of God's children, is fundamental. In John chapter 8, for example, verse 44 through 47, he says to the people who were coming to him who were vipers, "You are of your father, the devil, and he will do to your, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." You see how Jesus is making a clear distinction? There are those people who are the seed of God. They're God's people. And then there are people in this world who are Satan's people. This is confirmed by the very fact in our text that the people are coming to John to be baptized. They're submitting to baptism. this shows that something seriously wrong with these people. You see, this isn't New Covenant baptism. This isn't the kind of baptism we do, and we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. No, this is Old Covenant baptism, proselyte baptism. It's the kind of baptism that was done for Gentiles as they came in to Judaism, to move from being people who are outside of the covenant to people who are in the covenant, in a relationship with God, God's people. And why the people coming, what they were simply saying is this: we are covenant breakers. We're not in a right relationship with God. We're like Gentiles. We need to renew the covenant. In fact, it's by no accident that all of this took place in the wilderness of the Jordan. For that is exactly where Moses preached the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a message that was preached to the children of the rebellious generation that broke covenant with God. And for 40 years, that rebellious generation wandered in the desert. Thus God promised, you will die in the desert. You will not enter my holy land. So when the last of that generation died, Israel was ready to come in. They needed to renew the covenant. So these people who were coming to John, they were coming as those who realized they weren't the way they should be spiritually. They were coming to renew the covenant with God. Biblically, this is what's called repentance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that now. I think I made it pretty clear to you in a certain children's message what repentance is. It's a change of direction. The people were going in the right direction by coming to John because they were coming to God's prophet, the last and the greatest of the Old Covenant prophets, who was preparing the way for Christ. They made that needed this change in their life. And as they came to make that decision, that's when John says to them, who warned you? Who warned you to flee for the wrath to come? You see, in saying that, John wasn't throwing rhetorical stones at these people. No, he really wanted them to think. Who was it? He wanted them to realize that it was God who was at work in their life, bringing them to him to be baptized for repentance and forgiveness of sins. You see, John's message was a message of God's grace, God's amazing and powerful grace. Almost everyone admits that they sin. You know, I won't tell you my story. I grew up in the church. I went to Sunday school. I learned about sin. And if that wasn't enough, my parents were very faithful in reminding me that I did the wrong thing quite often. I got lots and lots of spankings. And yes, in third grade, well, there was that part in the old report cards back in the 1960s. I have no idea if they're still there. But it wasn't, you know, the A, B's, and C's for academics. It was behavior grades. And all four quarters that year, I got a U. Any of you remember what a U stands for? Unsatisfactory, yes. I was a naughty child in third grade, very naughty. Changed in fourth grade. It was funny. I'll tell you a funny story. I'm just going to share this with you. Fourth grade, after the first quarter, report cards were handed out. But the teacher didn't hand out mine. She says, I want you to stay after school. kids left. I was there in the room with my teacher. Called me up to the desk. She just simply said, "Keith, I want to know what happened." I didn't know what she meant. Because I looked at your grades, your behavior from last year. You've been a perfect student. I wasn't honest with her. The honest answer would be, I was scared to death of her. She had a reputation in school, and I wasn't about to misbehave in her class. I simply told her, "I don't know what happened." I tell you all that story to let you know that I'm just like most people. I knew. I sinned. But I didn't know I was a sinner. I didn't know I was a viper. But God's amazing grace. It so happened in my fifth grade year, that's the year my church gave out Bibles to all the kids. And so like any kid, you know, where do you start in a book beginning? And that was Genesis. And, you know, quickly you get that to the law, right? And Exodus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I was learning what God's word was. I was learning what the Ten Commandments were, what the standards were. Well, that spring, we had a contest to grow the biggest bean plant. Myself and my best friend, we were neck and neck. But unfortunately, I was in second place. But there were some rules in the classroom. And if you touched the other student's plant, you'd be disqualified. I set my friend up so he would be disqualified. Betrayed my best friend. But that's not enough. I had been reading the Word of God. And, you know, as I explained to the young people in my catechism class, you know, we break God's commandments by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And the commandments cover a lot more than just the bare commandment. And what I had broken was the commandment not to steal, right? I stole the first prize from my friend, and I felt horrible about it. With those emotions going through, that summer I went to vacation Bible school. It was a day camp, actually. And at that school, day vacation Bible school, I heard the gospel. And God worked in an amazing way. And there was a day that I realized that I wasn't just a person who sinned. I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was a viper. And I bet that most of you could tell a story similar to that. You know, different details. There came a point, didn't you, when you realized you had a problem. A problem is bigger than you. A viper fled in wrath to come. You see, that's God's work. That's God's grace. Jesus compares the work of God, his grace, to the wind beyond grace. You know, you can't earn grace. You can't control grace, and you most certainly cannot manufacture grace. God moves when and how and where he wills. My friends, the wind of God is blowing here today. It's blowing here because I'm preaching the good news to you today. It's not about me. About the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 1 that he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. There's grace and there's power in God's Word. That's what brought the people to John. And that wind is blowing here today, which brings us to the response. Their response and your response. Upon hearing the words of John, the people ask him, what shall I do? We find the answer in verse 11 through 14. Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. And soldiers also asked him, well, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone who threatens, by threats rather, or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. You know, first reading, that sounds like a lot of works, right? You're to earn your salvation. Do the things. What should I do? You do things to get God in God's favor. But we know that's not the case. Because earlier in verse 8, he calls these things the fruit of repentance. Bear fruit of repentance. And then he goes on to add, do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. What is fruit? Fruit is the produce of a healthy tree. Fruit's not the cause of a healthy tree. The reason the axe was at the root of the trees is we've already seen it. Israel was an unhealthy tree. It was spiritually not where they should be. And John's message was calling them back to be who they should be. It's not a message of bad news. It's a message of hope. It was a baptism of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. That is good news. It's a message of grace and of power. Notice what he tells them not to do. Don't presume you have Abraham as your father. Why are so many religious people presumptuous? You know, we've heard them before. Oh, I grew up in a Christian home. I belong to the church. I'm basically a good person. Those are all presumptuous statements. Why do we rely on things like that? You know why? Because we have nothing else but presumption. We have no grace, and we have no power. God doesn't offer us presumption. He offers us power. The power that can turn stones into children of Abraham. You may have given up on yourself. You may think that you're beyond God's saving grace. My friend, God is able to turn stones into children of Abraham. He can take you and make you a child of Abraham as well. Amen? See, that's grace. And that's power. So the wind is blowing. The call for the wilderness is being heard. And the time of decision is upon each and every one of us. Will you heed the voice? Will you flee to Christ today? Rely upon him alone for your salvation? Or will you presumptuously rely on yourself? See, repentance is all about changing direction. Which direction will you go? So as you ponder that question, I'd like to read the words of our closing hymn to you. They perfectly sum up what true repentance and faith are. And oftentimes we sing, we don't think about the words. Think about these words. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come, ye thirsty, come, welcome. God's free bounty glorified. true belief, true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to fill your need for him. Come, you weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In the arms of my dear Savior, oh, there are 2,000 charms. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I pray for your grace and power right now. Whoever is here in this place or watching on our live stream, who needs to come to Jesus, they will make that decision today. By your power and your grace, draw them as you drew the crowds that came to God. That they may know the reality, the good news of Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now.